Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Beit, Perek Chaf Hei, the end of the story. Vayi b'shenat ha-shtishi, so it was in the ninth year, Limalcho, of Tzidkiyahu's reign, about a year and a half before the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Ba'chodesh ha-asiri be'asor lachodesh, on the 10th day of Teves, and of course this day, Asor b'Teves, as Yecheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me on that day, Vashana HaTashit B'chodesh HaSiri B'Asor LaChodesh, and said, write down this date, Etzem HaYom HaZeh Samach Melech Bavel El Yerushalayim B'Etzem HaYom HaZeh. This day shall be written down, and indeed we keep it every single year, for this was the beginning of the real end, in which the Malchus of Bavel had determined to destroy Yerushalayim. And at that point, Bar Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, he came now, the king of the Kasdim is the way he's referred to in Divrei Hayomim and in Bavel. And here it's Allah HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who saw to it that he should be Oleh. And he comes up, Hu v'chol chelov. A chol doesn't mean literally coal, but it means the serious army, the major part of his army, came up to Yerushalayim to be lochem against Yerushalayim. This is after, as we see elsewhere, that he also, we see in Yirmiyahu, that this was after he had destroyed Kol Ari Yehuda Notarot, came to Lachish, came to Azekah, and was left with nothing. And this horrible story of Lachish and Azekah is so, so sad that anyone who goes to the British Museum can see the horrible, horrible letter that is written from Lachish, sent back to Tzidkiyahu, and writing Tzidkiyahu about how our dear king, even at this late date, we still hope and wish you for peace, and there should be a recovery. But we have horrible fears because we can no longer see the lights that come from Azekah. So they had a system of orders that would go out by light signals. And Azekah was in the line to Lachish. Lachish, of course, was the place that Sancheirav had originally made such a big fuss over at having conquered. And this line of fortresses was still active. And the sadness of the letter of Lachish, that we can no longer see Azekah. And you know that it's at that point the reason that you cannot see Azekah is because everything is being destroyed, and that Yerushalayim is being cut off and eaten alive, and they don't know, but they fear for the worst. Walking into the British Museum and looking at that, you can barely stand. And so here it's Mekatzer. So it says it in short, came to Yerushalayim, put it into siege, Vayichan Aleha, Vayivnu Aleha, and so the soldiers in Nebuchadnezzar built a dayek saviv. They built a dike around it, made out of wood all around the city. And that included, as we'll see, it also had the word actually in Aramaic, dike means lookout. So that it includes not only the dirt that you pour, which is called a solala, but then that you're able to actually scale the walls, but this includes towers, lookout towers, so that you can see and shoot from there. And this now is what Nebuchadnezzar and his army does, and Tavo Ha'ir B'Matzor, because of that, there was a terrible siege, and this siege went on Ad Ashtei Esrei Shana L'Melech Tzidkiyahu, until the bitter end, which was the 11th year, so this works out to basically 18 months. So that it went on now until the 11th year, which means if you make the analysis, the first and now, the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu begins at the first of Nisan. That's when we start counting now the time of the Malachim. So this is the first of Nisan from the time of the Churban. And then in Chodesh Av, we go from then, and we go now. Yerushalayim, the city, of course, falls in the fourth month. So then that means that the siege that began at the end of the ninth year on Asara B'Tevet went through the entire 10th year and ended in the fourth year of the fourth month of the 11th year. And although there is, in fact, a break, we'll see in Yirmiyahu, because there was an attempt by the Mitzrim, by Paro, to make breakthrough and to save Tzidkiyahu, which ended up not doing anything against the bubble. So that what we're talking about, even though it sounds like 3 years, is actually a year and a half. And so it was on the ninth day of Tammuz, this is, there was a horrible, horrible end because there was no longer anything to eat and no energy left to fight. And the people no longer had food. And there's a beautiful description in Josephus about these last years, although, of course, how would he know? It's probably he's writing from the Matzor in Yerushalayim in his own time, which is something that he would have known. And there he says the way that he speaks about it there is so beautiful. because what he writes is that the Babylonians thought that this would be a pushover, that it was just a matter of force. Little did they realize, says he, that there would be so much creativity, and that each weapon that was brought up by Bovel was countered by an invention by the Jews, who would undo with tremendous chokhmah everything that was being brought against them. And so that they lasted and lasted and lasted with new enthusiasm, with each new invention, until finally there was no energy left to fight. So he extrapolates this, but that itself is so beautiful, even if it's an extrapolation and based just on his assumptions. It's still beautiful to see what it says about the second Churban and the fight against the Romans. In any event, they broke through the walls of the city on that day. Vatibaka ir v'chol anshei ha-milchama ha-layla derech sha'ar ben ha-chomotayim asher al-gan ha-melech v'kastim ala ir saviv v'yelech derech ha-arava. And so they were able then to break through. And despite the fact that this was on the 9th of Tammuz, and we keep it on the 17th of Tammuz, as the Gemara says, the second Churban was indeed on the 17th, was Yom Hufka'ah. And that is a much more painful day to us because it's closer to our own experiences. But the Yerushalmi says another approach completely, and brings from Reb Tanchum that it's actually a mesa on the Cheshbonot. And it was because of the horrific tsar that they wrote it down wrong. And it really was on the 17th, not on the 9th. And so we find in Yechezkel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says to Yechezkel that everybody's saying now, happy days are here, the Goyim are saying now, that because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you should know that, and it says right down this day, this is supposed to be on the Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Av, which doesn't make any sense, because it couldn't have been the first day of Av. Echad l'Chodesh, so that the real point is that even though it was Tisha B'Av, but because they had moved back the day from the 17th to the 9th, they had to move up Tisha B'Av, so it would be the same number of days in between. And it gives a marshal, Rabbi Yochanan gives a marshal over there, that if there was a king who was keeping the historical record, and there was a day in which they came and they said, your son has been captured. And because of the horror of that day, they messed up everything that they wrote. And the king said, after some time, the king said, on the contrary, keep the messed up record so that they can see what we were going through and how we couldn't keep our heads straight under the circumstances. And so because of that, it was all confused. And we wrote the wrong day, but it was really the 17th, which is astonishing. It means that we keep history as we perceived it, rather than saying what really happened, which is extremely important in general, because this is a yesod b'chol ha-Torah kula, that the way in which it's perceived, and the way in which people experience things, is the reality that the Torah relates to. And this is Lashon b'nei Adam, essentially. In any event, the walls, and it says over Chomotayim, that means there was an area that had walls on two sides. Now, this area indeed is clearly on the southern side of the city. This is the Brechat HaShiloach. That area is actually surrounded by two walls, and there you can go out into Nachal Kidron. And this appears also in Yeshayahu, where it says, Mikva Benachomotayim. And this was part of the whole story with the bringing in the water, and so one can see it now with the new digs, that just over the past year and a half, all of these things are now becoming open. And this area was close to what has also recently been discovered, which is the area where David HaMelech had his palace, that's called Gan HaMelech. And so this is the Meh HaShelach, it was called. This is the Chomat Brechat HaShelach. In Nehemiah we find it. And despite the fact that the Kastim were around the city Saviv, nonetheless, they managed to get out Derech Arava. Now, according to Chazal, the only way they possibly could have managed is by having a secret underground chamber. And of course, we know there's the supposed Marat Tzidkiyahu, which is pointed to today, and which you can go in as a tourist to go into to see where supposedly Tzidkiyahu escaped. And it's indeed quite an extensive cave, but that has nothing to do with running away. First of all, it's on the other side of the city, it's on the north, does not connect to Arvot Yericho, and as a matter of fact, it is actually a quarry rather than a natural cave or a tunnel. When I say natural, a natural cave or a artificial tunnel, which supposedly is what Tzidkiyahu used. And according to the Medrash, the next pasuk, Vayedufu chel kasdim achar ha-melech, that they ran after him, means that they ran after him on top of the tunnel, without realizing that they were running after him, because what happens is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a deer that attracted their hunting instinct, and they were dying to have some great venison, and they started chasing it. And it came to the opening of the place where Tzidkiyahu was coming out with his army. And at that time, the Kazdim soldiers stumble over him. And so Vayasigo to Be'aravot Yericho, they find him there near Yericho, in the valley. V'chol chelo nafotsu me'alav, and all of his people now scattered, seeing that they had been discovered. V'yitfesu et ha'melech, and so they catch him. V'yalu oto ha'melech Bavel Rivlata, and they bring him to the king of Bavel, to Rivla, which according to the Gemara is Antukia, which was exactly the same place that we had found that Parnecho had been. So it's a natural place for foreigners to establish their rule. Vaidabru ito mishpat, and he then spoke to him about what it is that he had done, and showed him this mishpat we saw before was the name Tzidkiyahu. Ko yatzdika lecha et adin, you'll see that what I will do to you will be acceptable and considered to be just, despite the fact that it will be awful if this is what it is that you do and you violate the shvuah that you made to me. Indeed, at that point, v'tbnei Tzidkiyahu shachatu le'inav, before blinding Tzidkiyahu, he murders, and it's mashmah that he himself, this was because it says in Yirmiyahu, v'yishchat melech bavel et b'nei Tzidkiyahu b'riva, that Tzidkiyahu had to watch as Nebuchadnezzar slit the throat of every one of his children in front of his eyes. And then v'tbnei Tzidkiyahu, he very put out Tzidkiyahu's eyes. V'yasreyo b'nechushtayim, put him into irons. V'yivyehu bavel, brought him into Bavel, threw him into the dungeon, and that was the end of him. He dies there. It says, Adio Moto, this it says in Yirmiyahu. We never hear from him again. And so this is a horrific, horrific contrast to the beautiful mentioning of my children being Yoshev al Kisi, which is what David says, and my eyes veinairo ot. And here too, it's a nairo ot, all right. A nairo ot of the horror of my children being murdered. And it was this that the Medrash talks about as being a terrible, terrible violation of El Eila Ani Bochia. What is El Eila Ani Bochia? On the fact that Tzidkiyahu could have been so dumb not to realize what it was going to mean to the people and to his family to allow himself to be captured in this fashion. And that obviously this would be done. What he needed to do was to smash his own head against the walls. Couldn't he do what Shaul had done to save now the covet of Yisrael, so that the king would not be turned into a plaything in the hands of the Kasdim? And if he didn't have any weapons, he could have smashed his head against the wall, couldn't he? But no, didn't even have that presence of mind. So it's Halela Nibuchia, says Rabbi Nechemi and Rabbi Yehuda, Asilug Das. It's the fact that wisdom was taken away together with Siluk Hashchina. And as we see, Tzidkiyahu was left unable to act, constantly thinking, constantly worrying about doing the right thing, and because of it, never being able to do anything. ובחודש החמישי בשבעה לחודש, ישנה 19 שנה למלך נבוכדנצר מלך בבל. And so it was in the fifth month, the month of Av, on the seventh of the month now. We know in Yirmiyahu it says on the tenth of the month. And so indeed, we're told in the Gemara that actually what happened was that on the seventh day of Av, the goyim went into the Eichal, and they ripped out everything that was there, including the Yam, the Mechunot, the Amudim, as we'll see. And they were laughing around and destroying things just to rip to shreds anything that people viewed as Kodesh. And this they did on the 7th and on the 8th, and they were makalkal there by doing the most low-class things in the Beis HaMikdash itself, just as we find later the Roman who would sleep with a harlot inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this they did on the 7th and the 8th and the 9th, until they lit now the house of Hashem on the end of the day of the 9th, and it continued to burn on the 10th, which is why Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara in Tainis, if I would have been there, I would have been koveha tisha b'av, not to be tisha b'av, meaning that tzomach hamishi I would have had on the 8th, on the 10th of Av, because that was the main day in which the Beit HaMikdash was burning. So the Gemara says that at chalata de puranuta, it's the beginning of the puranut that hurts the most. And so they were koveha it on the 9th, even though really the ultimate destruction of the Beit HaMikdash was on the 10th. And so it was on that year, Banavuzradan Rav Tabachim, Nabu, of course, was the name of the god, Zradan, Probably comes from Rabbi Zoreah. Rav Tabachin, this was the chief executioner. Or it could simply mean that he was originally Rav Tabachin, like we find by Paro, that his job was in the kitchen, that these jobs became ultimately, as we saw, the concept of a saris, and the way in which the personal element of an eved to a melech is actually expressed in something similar in his national persona and his national position is that he was called a Rabbi Tabachim because he's the chef, but because of that he's the chief executioner, as the Targum puts it. So the two are not necessarily very different approaches at all. He was Eved Melech Bavel. He came to Yerushalayim, and at that point, Vayisrof et Beit Adonai et Beit HaMelech, he burnt down now all of the Beis Hashem, burnt the Beit HaMelech, for this was, in fact, the indication that the preservation of the Malchut is no longer a concern of ours. Nebuchadnezzar made it obvious that this was the end. That's the Shalom. The Shalom is Shenishlam Malchut Beit David B'yamav. And he burns everything down, which is the main thing that we keep as the Moed. So he does now the Kol Batei Yerushalayim V'et Kol Beit Gadol Sarav Ha'ish, Beit Gadol being a reference to not only the Beit HaMelech, which was the symbol now of the political independence that went, but also the Beit Gadol is a reference to a Beit HaTfilah or a Beit HaMidrash or the houses in which they were Machnis Orchim. The Gemara gives different explanations of the pain of what the Beit Gadol will mean. Gadol is a lashon of Megadlin, Megadlin Bo Torah, Megadlin Bo Tfilah, and that we find those words. Shem Chafetz Aman Tzitko Yagdil Torah V'Yadir. Kol HaGdolot Asher Asa Elisha. And of course that was done with a tefillah, the Gemara Megillah says. And so all of the things that had been the symbol, the symbols were destroyed. V'Yeter Ha'am Anisharim Ba'ir. Anyone that had managed to survive this siege, and those who had given themselves up and had fallen on their faces, so to speak, is when you give up to a king, it's you're swearing your allegiance and fealty to that king. And all of the simple people were just caught up with the events. All of them, Hegla, Nevuzradan, Rav Tabachim, he dragged them all to Bavel. Midalat Haaretz Hishir Rav Tabachim, and he allowed only the weakest and the poorest, and they were to work, L'chormim V'l'yogovim, Yogvim, to be the ones who would keep the vineyards going, to be able to pay tribute, and to keep the fields alive. V'yet Amudei Anachoshet Asher Beit Arunai. And now, what we watch the Navi do here, is take apart the Beit HaMikdash in the same way that it was built in the beginning of Melachim, so that each one of the fabulous things that had been put in is now taken out. And so just as we described in such great detail all of these wonderful kelim and all of these wonderful pieces of the Beit HaMikdash in the simcha of their creation, so too do we watch them now being torn to shreds and ripped apart, dragged above in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Just as the Beit HaMikdash was listed initially, counted from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, so too is the end, an end that revolves around Mitzrayim. Not only the Kishalon of looking to Mitzrayim to save us from Bavon, instead, it ends up causing the destruction, but also in the literal running away to Mitzrayim, going back to Mitzrayim against the Dvar Hashem, in which Yirmiyahu warns them, as we'll see. And so, from Mitzrayim, back to Mitzrayim. Having watched the godless of the Melucha, the waxing of the moon, we now have watched the 15 days of the waning of the moon. If you recall that Midrash, I'll review it later, as we reach the very end. And so, these are Amudei HaNechoshet. And so these were the beautiful pillars that had been made, Yochin uVoaz, that had stood at the entranceway to the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'et HaMechonot, V'tYam HaNechoshet Asher B'Beit Adonai Shibru Chastim. And the washing stands and the beautiful sea that was made out of copper to be the presence of the Yam in the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech made. Those were broken up into pieces to be used for their metal content. What an end. How horrible. Yet, and not only Vayisu et Nechushtam Bavela, and they dragged now their copper off to Bavel. Vetasirot, and the pots, Vetayaim, and the shovels, Vetamazamrot, and the various musical instruments, Vetakapot, the spoons, and the kokle and the choshet, Asher Yishartuvam, and all the various copper things which the Kohanim used to serve Hashem, Lakoch, they took it all away. Vetamachrot, Vetamizrakot, the pans they took, and the bowls that were used for dung. Asher zahav zahav, whatever was gold, they listed as gold. Vasher kasev, kesev kasev, lakach rava tabachim. Now, even though here it appears to be meaningless to say asher zahav zahav, asher kesev kesev, remarkably, what we're going to discover is that the people in Bavel, the malchus, in storing these kelim, were actually preparing the way for the binyan of the Beit HaMikdash in the end, so that when Nehemiah and Ezra come, it's with the blessings of the kingdom, bringing back the very kelim that had been taken out and putting them back together again, so that all of this, while it appeared perhaps to people that were there, that it signifies the bitter and horrible end with no hope. We know from Yirmiyahu how much he worked to give over the neviut of hope and to let people understand that this was an investment for a time when they would be able to use all of this properly and rebuild in a new way the Beit HaMikdash that would finally be all that it was meant to be. Though perhaps that would take, in the end, thousands of years. But it was not the end by any means. And it's because of that that the people that were in Bavel, we're going to see later at the rebuilding, when they made now the great happy day at the chinuch of the new Beit HaMikdash, burst into tears, not of fear of happiness, but of the sadness and disappointment, that this is the new Beit HaMikdash that we were looking for, and yet the others were happy. To them, it was a new beginning. And that new beginning, as it says in the Navi, the Bayit Hazeh will be gadol even from the first. And so all this was taken away. And therefore, let us count it piece by piece. Ha'amudim, shnayim. Hayam, ha'echad. And then there were the mechonot asher asar Shlomo lebeit Adonai. There was so much lo hayam mishkal nechoshet kol hakelim. There was so much carpet they couldn't even keep track of it. Shmone esrei amah komat amud echad. 18 amot was the height of a single pillar. The choteret alav. There was this beautiful capital that was on it. It was made out of nechoshet. The komata choteret, and that capital itself was yet 3 amot above and beyond the actual amud itself. So komata koteret itself was shalosh amot. And then there was a svacha. Above that there was a netting with figurines. Rimonim ala koteret saviv. All of this was made also of nechoshet, all around it. V'cha'el ala amud ha'sheni ala svacha. And the same decorations were on the copper netting around the other one. V'yikach rav tabachim et seraya kohen arosh. And so, the master executioner, he took the kohen gadol, and he took... These people apparently were actually still in the Beit HaMikdash and refused to leave. Vetzifanyahu kohen mishneh, the segana kohen, vetzloshet shomrei hasaf. And there were 3 kohanim that were the shomrei hasaf of the Beit HaMikdash. And remarkably, the actual embedded lettering that had come from the signet of Sirayahu was found and can be seen with this, with his name, Liz Sarayahu. So they took this Sarayahu, Tzifanyahu, the 3 shomrei hasaf, u'menayir lakach saris echad ashur pakid al anshei ha'milchama. They also took the one who was in charge of the army in the city, v'chamishan ashim mirolei p'nei ha'melech. 5 people who were the ones who had access to the king that were nimtzu'u ba'ir, v'ta sofer sar ha'tzava ha'matzbi et ha'maretz. And then there was the one in general of the army who was the one who was called a sofer because he kept the records of everybody that needed to be in the army. V'shishim ish mi'am ha'aretz, it's 60 of the Am ha'aretz. Here the Am ha'aretz doesn't mean the Dalat ha'aretz. Here the Am ha'aretz means the important figures that we saw earlier, the name used, the word used in that fashion. And took all of them, v'yikach utam navuz, dral and rav tabachim, v'yolech utam al melech bavel rivlata, dragged them also as leaders in to see the king in Rivla, and they were murdered there. V'yach utam melech bavel v'yimitem b'rivla b'eretz Hamad, killed them there in the land of Hamad in Rivla. And that brought an end. Vayigel Yehuda mi'al admato. And this is what it refers to in Eicha when it says, Vayin atz b'za'am apo. Melech v'chohen. It was the melech, it was the chohen, it was all the chashuvim that now were dragged off. And Yehuda was taken off of its land. What's fascinating is that according to the Gemara in Shabbos, the Yogvim, Kormim and Yogvim, what exactly are they? So Rav Yosef says that the specific Kormim is not for grapes. We're talking about things that were uniquely valuable. And these were the ones who would gather a Far Simon. And Yogvim were the ones who were the people who knew where to find the Chilazon that went all the way down from Sulam Ashal Tzur, Barmin and Rosh HaNikra, all the way down to Haifa, as the Gemara Shabbos puts it. And it was from there that the great Techelet, which was the most choshev of all things for the Malchut, would come. That was something that was essential for the people to have from Eretz Yisrael. A Faras Simon, which nobody knows exactly what it is, and the Tchelet, which also, of course, there are many machlokas as to what precisely it is. And this, as I'll tell us, is merumas in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. It says, "Hinei mitatosha lishlomo," a reference to lishlomo, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu misha shalom shalo, shishim giborim savivla. This is the shishim giborim that are mentioned over here by Giborei Yisrael. And those were the ones that shishim yishme amoretz, but nimtsoim be'ir. Mi Giborei Yisrael is marba, another 11, to make the shivim the echad, and we find them over here. Who are these 11? Sirayo, Tzifanyo, Shloshe Shomrei Asav, and then we have the Saris Echad, that's Mufla Shebebeitin, and then we find the Chamisha Nashim Miro Epnei Amelech, which adds 5, and gives us the 11, which is the number of the Sanhedrin Gadol, with the Sofer Tzara Tzavah, the Shliach Beitin, and this is all Achuzei Cherev, in which all of them had the Cherev, the Halal, clearly ready to fight. And yet, there was still a spark of hope that had been left, as the Rambam puts it, the gachelet, a burning coal that could have once again burst into flame. And this was Va'am Hanishar Beretz Yehuda, Sherishir Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, were given a governor by Avker Aleyem et Gedalyahu ben Achikam ben Shafan. These were the people that were most important in the Malchus Yehuda, the ones who were very, very close to Malchut Beit David. We spoke about Shafan, the very famous leader that was one of Yoshio's advisors. And Achikam, we found, also was a Tsar of Yoshio. We find him by Yehoyakim. He was the one that saved Yirmiyo from murder. And this was the hope, but it was a hope that would wither as well. Because Vayishmuhu kol sarei achayalim, at hearing about this hope, all of those who had gone into hiding, the leaders of the army, Hema v'anashim, they and their men, who had been hiding out in fields and in caves, heard kifkid melech bavel et Gedalyahu, that the king had appointed there a leader that would be allowed to maintain control, Jewish control, in Eretz Yisrael, under Bavel, of course. Vayavo el Gedalyahu ha-mitzpah, they come to the mitzpah in Binyamin in order to be his now leading soldiers. V'Yishmael ben Netanyah, V'Yochanan ben Kireach, so too came Yishmael ben Netanyah, which turns out to be a disaster, because this Yishmael ben Netanyah, he is actually from the Zerah HaMelucha, as we'll see, and it's because of that that he believes that he is the one that is meant to be leader, and that with Gedalia there's actually damage being done to the future of the Malchut. Yochanan ben Kireach, who is the leader, together with Sarayahu ben Tuchemet HaNotofati, Vayazanyahu ben Ma'achati, Hema v'anshehem, Vayishavalem Gedalyahu l'anshehem v'yomelehem, Altiru mi'avdeha kasdim. And so Gedalyahu swears to protect them, tells them they have nothing to worry about from the Kastim soldiers from Bavel that were there, that he has been empowered. Shvu ba'aretz v'yivdu et melech Bavel v'yitav lehem. You need only accept the burden of melech Bavel, and everything will go well. And this is as HaKadosh Baruch Hu had begged before, don't be morayed. Accept the fact that you're a mamlecha shefela, and then everything will work out for you. And as Yochanan ben Kireach is told, even after Yishmael now murders Gedalia, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, we will rebuild. This is mental work. Just stay here. Live with it and accept the pain. And you will see that you will rebuild, even though it looks hopeless. But it was not to be. Vayi b'chodesh ha-shivi'i b'Yishmael ben Netanyahu ben Elishama mizerah ha-melucha. The whole horrific story in Yirmiyahu, where the Gedalia had been warned, not only warned, but begged by Yochanan ben Kireach, told that Yishmael was going to murder him, offered to knock off Yishmael in ways that nobody would know, refused to believe it, refused to accept it, and left himself vulnerable. And they were all murdered. He was murdered together with Veta Yodim et HaKastim Asher Yehotu Itoba Mitzpah. And so just as the Malchut had begun in Mitzpah, so too now was the end of the Malchut in Mitzpah. And Gedalyahu then died, the entire people, from the youngest to oldest, ran away from Eretz Yisrael, thinking that the Babylonians would never forgive the insane Jews for killing the one guy that had been left as their governor together with their own soldiers. And this despite the fact that Yirmiyahu begged them and warned them in the Shem Hashem that if they don't stay and they run away to Mitzrayim, and of course this is the bitter end, going back to Mitzrayim, as we left, we were told that Kashereitem et Mitzrayim Ayom Azeh, you'll never see them again, which is an Isser, you're not to go back to see them. And instead, this was all that was left until Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim became a place in which the Beit HaKnesset was the most awesome building that the Jews had ever had for Avodas Hashem. The entire thing was destroyed. And the cherev that you fear, as Yirmiyahu puts it, is going to come after you to Mitzrayim and wipe you out till nothing is left. And so it was indeed. It was then in the 37th year from the Galut of Yehoyachin, Melech Yudah. Note how he's still called Melech Yudah, and he's been imprisoned this entire time. And so it was on the 27th of the month, and there was a determination, actually says the 25th in Yirmiyahu, apparently there was a process in which Evel Merodach had decided to free Yehoyachin. On the 27th, he was actually freed, and there was a tremendous celebration about the way in which Nebuchadnezzar was avenged, and Nebuchadnezzar was actually removed from his grave by Evel Merodach. Indeed, the Seder Olam says that the reason that it says the 25th in Yirmiyahu is because that was the day that Nebuchadnezzar dropped dead and they buried him. And then Evel Merodach actually dragged his father Nebuchadnezzar out of his grave and dragged him in order to show the world. As it says in Yeshayahu about Nebuchadnezzar, Atah hushlachta mikivrecha, kinetzer nit'av, you're dragged out of your grave, and dragged around the street. And on the 27th day, as part of the rebuilding of everything that his father Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, Evel Merodach took Yehoyachin out of prison. And according to the Seder Olam, it was on that very day that they had taken out now Yechonyo from prison. It was then that Tzidkiyo died. And there he was, at Tzidkiyo, the thing that they said at his funeral. They said, Vai, vai, and the death of Tzidkiyo, who drank the bitterest lees of the entire generation. For he was the tzaddik who had maintained all and had been himself in his own pain, had maintained the generation to this point where it was possible to begin to see the restoration of Malchut Yehuda. And so it was that the one who had survived the Galut of Yehoyachin was the one who did not see the beginning. And Yehoyachin, who had thought that it was all over, was able to see the beginning that would come directly from him and his children. And so he called Evel Merodach, was Nasa Melech Bavel Bishnat Malcho. It was in that year that he did become, right then, he became Melech, and he now rebuilt and lifted up. The same words, of course, that we hear about in the dream of Haro. That Rosh Yehoyachin Melech Yehudah Mibeit Kela took him out of the dungeon. Vaydaber ito tovot, spoke good of him. And he told him, don't worry, the only one who put you into jail was someone who was as great as you, a king, a great king. And even though now he acted in this way, I too acted against him to bring him down so that you would be great. Put on the clothes of Malchut on him. And that was the Tavot. And not only then, Vayitenet kisomi al kiseim lachim asher ito bibavel. He also now, he made him, Yehoyachin, greater than any of the other kings that had been with him now in Bavel, so that after all of this, when Evel Merodach took over, we find that things that were horrible, that we looked at as having been ends, and that indeed for Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyo were horrific, yet somehow there would be a future for Yehoyachin. Vishina et Bigdei Chil'o turned his clothing in prison into Bigdei Malchut. And he ate from that point on, together with the king, was osek with the king in the issues of the malucha. And that means that he took care of him, as it says, aruchato, aruchatamid nitnalo, saw to it that he would always have now a stipend to maintain him as a king. Me'et ha-melech dvar yom b'yomo kol yemei chayav. And so it's with this, yemei chayav shel yoyachin, and in the end, ultimately, some say it's actually yemei chayav shel yoyachin, others say it was kol yemei chayav of Evel Merodach. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu now gives peace to tzaddikim, he gives it until the very, very end, till he brings them in himself, into Gan Eden. And so all of those kelim, everything that looked as if it was gone, each step of the going into of the galut works backwards, all the way backwards to Mitzrayim, and yet saved us from the Venoshantam La'aretz to give us the hope of a future. And with this, the book closes. For this is the book of the Malachim, and the Malachim live on, but there is still hope. In Divrei Hayomim, we don't focus on the Malachim. And there, indeed, other elements are at the end of the book. Things about the Beit HaMikdash and the Koresh proclamation and so on, which are no longer to us part of the story of the Malucha.